Good evening. We want to welcome everyone this evening as we gather tonight for Messiah and the Passover presentation. We're blessed tonight to have Kirill with us from Chosen People Ministries, and so he'll be running the program this evening. As we get to the third cup, which is the cup of redemption, we'll have a chance to share in communion together. So we'll do that at that point, but he'll walk us through all the different elements. I know there'll also be a little bit of information on Chosen People Ministries. And another piece, you'll notice we have two offering baskets up here. Those are for a free will offering. We won't be passing the baskets, but during the course of the evening at the end, you're welcome to, if you would like to make a donation toward Chosen People Ministries, checks should be made out to Chosen People Ministries, not to Network, and that will bless their ministry and what they're doing. Let's see, any other announcements I want to make here? I'm going to peel down. so we hope you'll enjoy. This whole year, our focus is basically seeing Jesus in the Old Testament and looking at how in the Old Testament we see pictures and glimpses that point us forward to Christ. And so I hope that as he comes and shares the presentation with us this evening, that you'll be blessed to see how the Passover points us forward to Christ and how all this is designed for that purpose. So let's have a prayer, and then I'll turn it over to Kirill for the evening's presentation. Father God, we thank you for the opportunity that we have to gather here this evening to just celebrate in this time looking at such a pivotal feast in the life of Israel. And how that feast points us forward to Messiah Christ. We just want to bless you, O Lord, as we gather. We pray for your anointing on the presentation upon Kirill and upon Chosen People Ministries, and we just ask that this would be a time that encourages and blesses your people, that we might have a greater understanding of the faith that we hold, and that we might live it out more dearly and more clearly as we embrace Christ and all that he means for us. It is in Jesus' name that we come and pray. Amen.
Amen. Does it work? Shalom. Shalom, everyone. Shalom, dear church. Shalom, dear pastor. Thank you so much for inviting me for this wonderful event. My name is Kirill Sudersky. I was born in former Soviet Union, in Moscow. You probably figured it out by now. And I'm German citizen. I live in America. I am Jewish. And I believe in Jesus. So I have been working for Chosen People Ministries. By the way, I am married. Very important. We have four children. All of them are boys, except three girls, and five grandchildren. All of them are girls, except two boys. It's a Jewish mathematic. It's okay. Yeah, I've been working with Chosen People Ministries for 23 years, and Chosen People Ministries is the oldest Jewish messianic mission. This mission was founded by Dr. Leopold Cohen in 1894. This rabbi came to America from Hungary, searching for the truth. Having come to understand that Christian Jesus is the Jewish Messiah, he started spreading this great news among Jews. Today, Chosen People is the large mission with different branches in different countries. And part of our mission is preaching the gospel, establishing Jewish messianic congregations, assist to the needy in Israel, work among the Holocaust survivors, establishing and leading the children in youth camps and conferences in many countries. My work consists in the Jewish outreach, establishing and leading the Jewish messianic congregations. I'm also editor-in-chief of Jewish messianic newspaper called Hesed, Voice of Truth, in German and Russian languages. I lead an annual Messianic conference, Messianic Perspective in Germany, and a few months ago I started a radio program on the Russian language wave in Chicago. It's absolute amazing tool to reach Jewish people, Russian Jewish people. In Chicago, by the way, we have about 300,000 Russian Jews in Chicago. Yeah, it's a big community. And already three Jewish persons were praying with me the sinner prayer. It's the Lord. It's just the Lord. For 10 years, I was working in Germany, and the Lord blessed us there to establishing many Messianic congregations. And my son, Igor, is missionary there right now in Munich. And since 2008, I am working in the U.S. in Chicago. And here, our amazing Lord bless us with the same blessing and allow us to establishing new Messianic, Russian-speaking Messianic congregation, Beit Emet, House of Truth, which I am leading right now. We're sending out free monthly update on our work in Chicago and also in the work of Chosen People Ministries around the world. It's a powerful way to be informed about what the Lord is doing among the Jewish people today. We would love to be connected with you and partner with you in this ministry. Every one of you should have this brochure. Yeah. This has some info about our mission and also about my family. But there is this slip. You can fill out if you want to be part of this and return to me at the end of the service. All right? Yeah, it works already. And you can do it online if you want. You can just go to Chosen People Ministry, chosenpeople.com/pray for Kirill. And can you fill out everything and get the information about my ministry, about the ministry of Chosen People? Okay. Today we are doing something very special. Together, the Passover Seder. How many of you have celebrated before? Oh, okay. Okay. Quite a few. This is wonderful. So then you surely know what the Passover is all about, right? The very first Passover was celebrated 3,500 years ago when God freed the children of Israel from the slavery in Egypt. This is the Exodus, the greatest story of redemption in the Old Testament. Well, did you know that the greatest story of redemption in the New Testament, the death of Jesus for our sins, happened on the very same day as Passover? Because it's the same story of the same God about him redeeming us, his people. Let me show you. This is so important to understand. When God brought Israel out of Egypt, he made a covenant with her. A covenant is a permanent relationship. And as part of this covenant, he gave Israel his laws, how they should live with him and with each other. Well, as a part of this wonderful gift, God gave the Jewish people also a schedule of 7 appointed times with him. On this day, the Jewish people were celebrating God. And the number 7 is a complete number. It's very special. Let me show you. So, here the 12 biblical months. Oops, okay. And this is the 12 months of our years. If you notice, the ancient calendar is somewhat shifted. This is because in the past, life revolved around the harvest. So for the people back then, the year began with the beginning or end of the harvest season and not just in the middle of the winter as it's today. So there are 7 festivals that God has given to his people. Notice the number 7 and number of completeness in the Bible. Also, the first festival, Passover, is on the 14th day of the first month. That's 2 times 7. Notice how important it is. It's the very first festival. It celebrates God's deliverance of Israel from the slavery in Egypt. The next festival, a continuation of Passover, the festival of Matzah, is to be celebrated for 7 days. The third festival, the festival of first fruits, is on the first day of the week after Passover, right after the first Shabbat, which is the 7th day after Passover. Fourth comes another harvest festival, that of weeks. It's called this way because it celebrates exactly 7 weeks or 50 days after Passover. This is followed by the three fall festivals, which are in the 7th month. The festival of trumpet is on the first of the 7th month. The festival of Yom Kippur, the holiest day in the calendar, is on the 10th of the 7th month. Followed by the tabernacles, the festival of commemorates how God was living with the Israelites in the tent in the wilderness on the 15th day of the 7th month. Tabernacles also last for 7 days plus one. 7, 7, 7. God is pointing out something here. I believe that it's nothing short of God's personal timetable for our salvation. Let me show what I mean. Now on the three of the 7 festivals, all the Jewish people had to come together in Jerusalem every year. At the beginning of the festival season, Passover. In the middle, the festival of weeks. And at the end, the festival of tabernacles. As we've already said, Passover celebrates God's deliverance of Israel from the slavery in Egypt. Don't you think it's interesting now that Jesus picked exactly this day to free us from the slavery of sin and death? I guess he could pick any day to give his life for us, but he picked this very day. Also, where did Jesus pay this price for us? In Chicago? In Washington? In Berlin? In Moscow? No, in Jerusalem, where all the Jewish people had assembled to celebrate Passover. He then tells his disciples to wait in Jerusalem to receive the Holy Spirit. But why? Wait, Jesus, why can't we have the Holy Spirit now? Maybe they asked. Well, because I am on schedule. And do you remember when the Holy Spirit was poured out? Pentecost. Yes, exactly, on the day of Pentecost. And did you know that Pentecosta in Greek means 50? Yes, it's because the 50 days are exactly 7 weeks after Passover. It's a festival of weeks. And where is the Holy Spirit poured out? Also in Jerusalem. Exactly where all the Jewish people are gathered to celebrate the festival, and they become witnesses to God's act of redemption. What about the last festival, Tabernacles? Well, I believe this festival has not yet been fulfilled. It's yet in our future. This is probably the time when our Lord will come to sit on the throne of David, his father, and rule over us who know him and love him. Okay. So Passover is the very first festival in the 7 appointed times of God. The first Passover was celebrated 3,500 years ago, and it was very simple. You eat some nice steak with some dry bread and bitter herbs, and you walk right out of Egypt. Well, with the centuries, more traditions became part of the celebration to help those things from the past come alive to us today. There is always beautiful decorated table on Passover. It has lots of different interesting things. There are matzah bread, but at the center of Passover is so-called Passover plate. It has 6 elements on it: the lamb shank bone, an egg, some branches of parsley, horseradish, salt water, and this tasty mixture of apple, nuts, and honey called the haraset. This one. By the way, I forgot my very important part. Okay. Candles. I need somebody. I need a lady who can do it. This is bracha or prayer. Okay. All right. First life.
In Hebrew.
Okay.
Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Heolam Asher Hidshanu Bimitzvotav Vetzivanu Lehadlik Nershel Yom Tov.
Wow. Great.
And then English?
In English.
Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with his commandments and commanded us to kindle the light of this festival.
That's right. Thank you. Thank you very much. Can we give her a hand? Thank you. By the way, we need to learn Hebrew. Otherwise, what language do you want to speak in heaven? Yeah, okay. I hope after our service, all of us will speak perfect Hebrew. Okay? Great. Great. Now we are underway. When the Jewish people fled from Egypt, we didn't have time to wait for the leaven to rise in our bread. So beginning with the Passover and for the next 7 days, all leaven is forbidden. You can't eat it and you can't oven it. Therefore, just before the Passover begins the preparation to clean out the house of all cooks, cakes, bread, wines, vinegars, etc. Simply everything that contains leaven needs to go. This is permanent break with the past. This makes the house clean or kosher for Passover. Another important thing that Jewish people don't call the Passover celebration, rather we say Passover Seder. Seder is a Hebrew word that means order, and that's because there are so many different traditions in Passover Seder that there must be some order for them. Well, there is. The entire Passover Seder is divided into four parts. Why four parts? Well, because God led the Jewish people out of Egypt, he gave us four promises. And we read about this in Exodus 6, chapter 6, 6 to 7. Say the four to the sons of Israel, I am the Lord, and, oh, great, works. I will bring you out from under the burdens of Egyptians, and second, I will deliver you from their bondage. Third, I will also redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. Fourth, then I will take you for my people, and I will be your God. And you shall know that I am the Lord your God, who brought you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. So there are four promises, and accordingly there are four parts to the Passover Seder. Now each part begins with a cup of wine or grape juice. How do you know what tradition follow what? Well, there is a helpful booklet that is present in every Passover Seder called the Story or the Haggadah in Hebrew. It leads you through the entire Passover Seder, so the father of house, acting like a priest, will open the Haggadah and just read from it, leading everyone through the Passover Seder. Our Haggadah for today is my PowerPoint. Okay, now we are ready to begin with the first cup. The first cup, the cup of sanctification, Kiddush. It's good. Okay. That's because Lord promised, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of Egyptians. And before the Lord does so, the first cleans or sanctifies his people. By the way, if we are drinking it, we need to lean on our left side, like this. Why? In the ancient past, people would not sit at the table but recline. And leaning on the left hand was a position of relaxation. We remember the slavery in Egypt, but we're free now and relax. Baruch atah Adonai, Eloheinu melech haolam, borei pri hagafen. Blessed are you, Lord, our God, King of the universe, who created the fruit of the vine. Nobody drink. I will not. Okay.
Yeah, I was told that we would only have the presentation table.
Okay. It's beautiful. Great. What happens now is that we need to fulfill a few traditions. First, matzah. Or matzah. Okay. The first tradition is called matzah. Matzah is the flat cracker bread. When we fled from Egypt, there was no time to wait for the leaven to rise in the dough, and so we didn't use any leaven. Our bread was dry, somewhat burned, and it looks bruised and beaten down. In fact, when baking it, you pierce it to keep it from rising. This is a bread of affliction. The next tradition is a bit strange. For that, we need this one, matzah bag. It has three separate compartments, and we need to put a whole unbroken matzah into each of these compartments. Then, so beautiful, is it? Okay. And then we take out the middle matzah, not the first, not the third, and break it in half. One half goes back, and another half, it's here. We wrap in napkin. Originally, it should be a linen napkin. And now it's called the afikomen, and we will eat it in the very end of the Passover Seder. What does it mean? Well, funny thing, nobody knows. Some say it means the unity of our patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But why was Isaac broken? Others say it symbolized the unity of the people of Israel, consisting of the priests, Levites, and Israelites. But why break the Levites? Well, it seems the answer to this has been lost in the centuries past. But it's an important tradition, and we will come back to it later. Now, we're coming to a very significant tradition, the retelling of Exodus story. Before we start to do that, the smallest participant on the table has asked me four questions. Usually, we sing these questions. Ma nishtana halayla hazeh mikol haliliyot, mikol haliliyot, shebichol haliliyot ein anu matbilim, afilu paham echat, afilu paham echat, הלילה הזה, הלילה הזה, שתי פענים. הלילה הזה, הלילה הזה, שתי פענים, and so on. What makes this night different for all other nights? On all nights, we need not dip even once. On this night, we do so twice. On all nights, we eat chametz, leaven, or matzah. And on this night, only matzah. On all nights, we eat any kind of vegetables. And on this night, maror, bitter herb. On all nights, we eat sitting upright or reclining. And on this night, we all recline. I'd like to tell it from the beginning, the way we find in the Bible. In the beginning, God created everything. His most important creation are humans, who alone were created to be like God and to be in close relationship with God. Like a mother bird, God builds a special nest for his youngling that calls the Garden of Eden. There is nothing as beautiful in the entire universe, but the most amazing thing about this place is that God is right there with his humans. They can speak to him directly, they can learn from his wisdom, and they can just enjoy him. But in this most glorious of places, the darkest evil is born. Tricked by the serpent, these humans start believing that God is not on their side and that they need to become God themselves. They need to take their lives, their well-being, their happiness into their own hands and decide themselves what is good and what is evil. And in our arrogance, we turned against our Maker. We went from being his beloved children to being his direct enemies. We lost our relationship with him and we had to leave his presence. The biggest conflict in the universe had begun. And something inside of us has changed dramatically. Pride, jealousy, malice, hatred, sickness, violence, suffering, murder, and even death have become normal parts of our existence. Is there any hope for fallen humanity? There is. God doesn't abandon us and runs after us. He decided to create a new nation through which he will bless the fallen humanity and bring it back to himself. So he revealed himself to this man by the name of Abraham. Abraham is part of fallen humanity, but he has a rare gift. He just believes God's word and does exactly as he says. There is only one problem. Abraham and his wife Sarah can't have children. As a consequence of our broken relationship with our Maker, our bodies sometimes don't function like they were designed to. But God does a double miracle in their life, so they do have a son, Isaac, and that when Sarah is 90 and Abraham is 100. Isaac later also has a son, Jacob. God gives a new name to Jacob, Israel. Israel has 12 sons, and they love each other so much that they end up selling the poor Joseph into slavery in Egypt. There are a part of the fallen humanity, and the same brokenness fills them. But God turns their wicked plan for good. In Egypt, Joseph becomes the second most powerful man on earth, and when famine comes over the land, Israel's family moves to Egypt and reunites with Joseph. At the first, Egypt seems to be second Garden of Eden. It's beautiful, it's majestic, it has plenty of food, protection, and good lands for the cattle. But very quickly, this dream is broken. A new Pharaoh comes to power who doesn't remember Joseph, and he enslaves the Israelites. He makes a soil for him, making bricks, building storage faculties and working in the fields. The Pharaoh also killed our young boys to prevent our nation from becoming strong. And so we have become slaves in the land of our well-being. It was awful time of suffering and humiliation for us. There was no one to save us from the hand of the mightiest power on the earth, Egypt, except for us, one, our God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We cried out to him, and he heard, and he came to save us, to free us from our bondage. He sent Moses and Aaron, to talk to Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, demanding, "So says the Lord, let my first son Israel, go. But Pharaoh says, who is this Lord of yours? I don't know him, and I will not let you go. And then God revealed his might to Pharaoh, to all of Egypt, to the entire world. He performed the 10 great plagues over Egypt, and after each Pharaoh refused to let the Israelites go. But the last plague was the most devastating one. Like they killed our children and refused to free Israel, God's firstborn son, from slavery, so every firstborn in Egypt would die. Except if you take a lamb, slaughter it, mark your doors with its blood, and enjoy a wonderful steak dinner, trusting that the Lord will take care of you. Because then the death will pass over you, and you and not harm you, and you will go free in the morning. This is the Passover story. And so, as we think about the slaughter lamb that saved our forefather and planting of its blood on the doors, there is a little tradition that goes along with it. Originally, the blood was applied to the doors with a green plant called the hyssop. Well, instead of the hyssop, we take a branch of parsley during the Seder and dip it not in the blood, but in the salt water. And that to commemorate all tears that we shed in Egypt. Unfortunately, I have to do it by myself. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, bore pri ha'adama. Blessed are you, Lord, our God, kings of the universe, who created the fruit of the earth. Okay. Okay. Now there is a second cup, and this cup of judgment, Makot. Because the Lord said, I will deliver you from under their bondage. And he did so through the 10 plagues of Egypt. And what we have to do now is to remember the 10 plagues. And the way we are doing this is this. We will say the name of the plague in Hebrew and English, and then take one drop of grape juice with our finger out and put it in the napkin. I have. Okay. All right. And we will say the name of the plaque in Hebrew and in English. You will just follow me and do it, please, together. So we learn while learning Hebrew. It's very important. Otherwise, again, what you will do in the heaven. Okay. Dam, blood, and one drop on a napkin. Tsfardeya, frogs, and one drop in a napkin. Kinim, lies, and one drop. Arof, flies. Dever, plague, and one drop. Shechin, boils, and one drop. Barat, hail, and one drop. Arbe, low costs. Hoshech, darkness, and one drop. And Makat, bikurim, death of firstborns. Great. Now, the next Jewish word, very important, dayenu. Dayenu. Dayenu, it would have been enough or it would have sufficed us. Okay? The word dayenu. I will read, and after each sentence, you have to repeat, dayenu. Dayenu. All right? All right. By the way, okay. How many levels of favor the omnipresent one has bestowed upon us. If he had brought us out of Egypt and had not carried out judgments against the Egyptians, Dayenu, great, it would have sufficed us. If he had carried out judgment against them and not against their idols, Dayenu. If he had destroyed their idols and had not smitten their firstborn, Dayenu. If he had smitten their firstborn and had not given us their wells, Dayenu. If he had given us their wells and had not split the sea for us, Dayenu. If he had split the sea for us and had not taken us through it as on the dry land, Dayenu. If he had taken us through the sea on dry land and had not driven our oppressors, Dayenu. If he had driven our oppressors and had not supplied our needs in the desert for 40 years, Dayenu. If he had supplied our needs in the desert and had not fed us the manna, Dayenu. If he had fed us the manna and had not given us the Shabbat, Dayenu. If he had given us the Shabbat and had not brought us to Mount Sinai, Dayenu. If he had brought us to Mount Sinai and had not given us the Torah, Dayenu. If he had given us the Torah and had not brought us into the land of Israel, Dayenu. If he had brought us in the land of Israel and had not built for us the Beit HaMikdash, the temple, Dayenu. And now the Messianic Jews say this sentence. If he had not given us all of that and had only given us the Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ, Dayenu, it would have been more than enough. And now we will sing, how immeasurably great must be our thanksgiving for his abundant favors we have received from him, because he had led us out of Egypt and carried his judgment against Egyptians and their idols, and killed their firstborn, and gave us their wells, and split the sea for us, and took us through it like on dry land, and drowned our enemies, and supplied our needs in the desert for 40 years, and led us with manna from heaven, and fed us with manna from heaven, and gave us Shabbat, and brought us to Mount Sinai, and gave us the Torah, and led us into the land of Israel, and built the temple for us, to forgive all our sins, and gave his only and unique son to death, so that every who trusts in him may not perish, but have eternal life. And now we sing the song. Dayenu. Ilu hotzilanu mi mitzrayim, hotzilanu mi mitzrayim, dayenu. Together. Da dayenu. Ilo natan lano ed hatora, natan lano ed hatora, dayenu. Da dayenu. Ilu natan lano et Yeshua, natan lano et Yeshua, dayenu. Da dayenu. Great, you speak Hebrew. Okay. But in the midst of all this hardship, there was also sweetness. First, to remember just how hard it was in slavery, there is this very helpful tradition called maror, which is the eating of the bitter herb. What we can do, we just take a little bit bitter herb on the matzah and eat it. Then, korech. But in the midst of all this hardship, there was also sweetness. And that's because God was always with us, helping us, strengthening us, and even saving us. So he reads another important tradition. We take another piece of matzah and put some haroset, this one, on it. It's a sweet mixture of apples, nuts, and honey. It's brownish, like a mortar, out which we were building the bricks. So we have to eat it. Yeah. Okay. What would follow now? The festival of Passover meal. It happens in the midst of the Seder, but today we skip it and go straight to the third cup. Third cup. Hegula, the cup of redemption. So the first cup we raised was the cup of sanctification. The second cup was the cup of judgment. Then we had the Passover meal, and now we're raising Hegula, the cup of salvation, because the Lord promised, I will deliver you from their bondage. But first, let us reflect on this. This bone reminds us on the Passover lamb. The Passover lamb is very special sacrifice. In the first Passover, if you didn't want your firstborn to die, you would take a lamb and kill it instead. You would put its blood on your house, and you would roast its meat and enjoy it. It was the Passover lamb that made judgment pass over all those who believe God's word and did accordingly. The Passover lamb played such a huge role that it's received the name of the entire festival, Passover or Pesach in Hebrew. However, since the destruction of the temple in 70 AD, sacrifices are no longer being offered. The centerpiece of the Passover, the Passover lamb, disappeared from the Seder. Today, we're just reminded of it by this lamb shank bone. What's interesting is that only in the last plague, the Israelites had to do something in order to be saved. In all the other plagues, it was automatic. There was darkness for 3 days everywhere, but in the Israelites' home, there was light. The animals of the Egyptians died, but none of the animals of the Israelites did. But if you wanted the last plague to pass over you, you had to do something. You had to believe God's word and live by it. Take a lamb, slaughter it, mark your house with its blood, roast it, and eat it. You had to believe God's word, and you had to live by it. Obey, just do exactly as he tells you. If you do believe and live by this faith, judgment will pass over you, and you will walk free. But you had to do it. Hearing about it was not enough. To live next door to someone who put the lamb's blood on their house was not enough. You had to obey God's word yourself. One more thing. Elijah cup. If you notice, there is a chair, beautiful chair. Let's say it's here. Reserved for very special guests. This guest always gets the best of silver. A chair is the prominent place in the table, and usually a pillow on this chair to make it very comfortable for him. But this guest never shows up. It's the prophet Elijah. We were waiting for each Passover Seder. Why? Because there is a prophecy in Malachi chapter 4, verse 5, that the prophet Elijah will come and announce the coming of the Messiah, the Savior. And so our sages thought, what would be a better time for Elijah to come than on Pesach, or Passover, the day when God freed us from the slavery in Egypt. But he never comes. We open doors, send the kids to shout for the prophet and sing songs about the coming of Elijah. Eliyahu Hanavi, Eliyahu Atishbi, Eliyahu ha'iladi bimhera yavo eleinu im Mashiach ben David. Bimhera yavo eleinu im Mashiach ben David. Elijah the prophet, Elijah of Tishbi, Elijah of Gilead, may he soon come to us along with the Messiah, son of David. But he never ever comes, that because he has already come. The Messiah has already arrived. Now, do you remember this? We made it at very beginning today. It's the piece of masa that is broken and wrapped in linen napkin. It's a strange tradition. Nobody seems to know where it comes from. But this little piece of masa is called the afikomen. It's the last piece of food eaten at the Passover Seder. Interestingly, it's a Greek word that means I have come. Nobody knows where this tradition comes from, but it's a wonderful illustration of what we believe in. Look at again. There is this bag with three pockets. In each, there is a whole unbroken piece of matzah. There are separated from each other, but also united. It's three, but it's definitely one. Then the second matzah, not the third, is taken out and it's broken. One half goes back, but the other half is wrapped in linen napkin as if it's dead. It's forgotten about the duration of the Seder until it's uncovered at the very end. It is called afikomen, which in Greek means I have come. Do you understand what this is about? The Messiah, Jesus, the second person of God, had come into our world as a human being. He gave his life for us to pay for the debt of our sins against God. He was wrapped in linen and buried. But on the third day he rose from the dead. He has come indeed. But you see, the sad reality is that the symbols are present at every single Jewish Passover Seder every year. And yet the majority of the Jewish people do not see, do not understand that he has come. By the way, guess what the Messiah did before he gave his life for us? He celebrated Passover. Let's have a look. It's Luke chapter 22, 13 to 20. And they left and found everything just as he had told them. And they prepared the Passover. When the hour had come, he reclined at the table and the apostles with him. And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I shall never again eat it until it's fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he said, take this and share it among yourself. For I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until the kingdom of God comes. And when he had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, he took the cup after they had eaten, saying, this cup which is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. Look at here. Passover. It was Passover, like our today. And of course, you had to prepare it. Verse 15. It was so important for Yeshua, Jesus, to celebrate the Passover with his disciples before suffering for us. 16. Fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Notice that it's so important for him that we will celebrating it when he comes back. 17. As we read along, notice that Jesus celebrates the Passover with various cups, in fact with four, just like we did today. This is very ancient tradition. Verse 19. Bread. And guess what bread it was? Of course, matzah. All other bread needed to be thrown out before Passover begins. There is simply no other bread around. This is my body, which is given for you. It's actually interesting that Yeshua, Jesus, doesn't take a piece of lamb to talk about his body. It would have been natural. He is the Lamb of God that takes away our sins. But maybe he foreknew that the temple would be destroyed and the lamb would vanish from the Passover Seder. The matzah makes a lot of sense here as well. Take a look on it. It's broken, dried up, pierced, bruised, beaten up. Jesus is saying here to his disciples, look at this matzah bread. My body will look exactly like this very soon because of what I am about to do for you. Whenever you celebrate the Passover, remember what I have done for you. Verse 20, cup after they had eaten. Notice now that he is taking another cup after this time, after the dinner. If you remember, there are four cups in a Passover Seder. The first cup is the sanctification, then cups of judgment, then follows the dinner. And after the dinner comes the cup of salvation. So here Jesus, Yeshua, takes up the cup of salvation after the meal. It's cup of wine, which is red like blood. And he says, this cup, which is poured out for you, is the new covenant in my blood. Just like the lamb was slaughtered at the first Passover, so the judgment would pass over you. So Jesus gave his life, spilled his blood, so that God's judgment will pass over you as well if you accept what he had done for you. And this cup, in the church, calls communion. So now I'd like to invite your pastor here for leading the communion.
Hopefully you're seeing a lot of the roots between the Passover and something that we participate in every week. And some of the things that he's talked about is the aphikomen, I have come, right? And dadayana, sufficient. You know, as we come to this table, we recognize that everything that needs to be done for our deliverance from sin and from death is done through Christ, our Passover lamb. And his sacrifice is completely sufficient for us. And so as we partake of this time together, We did a message on Exodus this morning to kind of prepare ourselves for tonight. And one of the points we made was it's interesting that Passover precedes unleavened bread, and yet you prepare for the unleavened bread before the Passover. And so as we partake of communion, we just kind of want to invite you to have that time of self-examination, that if there's anything that you need to be offering up to God, that this is the time that we do that, to offer that up to God, that he might cleanse us of that sin, that we might receive the sacrifice of our Passover lamb, and that we might know that his sacrifice is sufficient for all the ways that we have rebelled and fallen and sinned against our God. Let us pray. Almighty God, as we receive of this gift that has been given to us, the cup of redemption and the cup of salvation, we just give you thanks that we know that in Christ, his sacrifice is more than sufficient for anything that we have done to fallen away from you. And we just pray that as we receive of this bread and of this cup, that we might rest in the sufficiency of Christ and that we might walk in the newness of life that you've now called us to. So we come and we partake. We pray that you would unite us as one body in Christ as we share in this one meal together and as we reflect on what our Messiah has done for us and the life that he now calls us to. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Congratulations. We are at the fourth and final cup of the Passover Seder. This is the cup of Hallel, the cup of praise. For after such a wonderful salvation, what can one do but to worship the Lord? You know, worship is how we respond to God. We worship Him when we see or experience a glimpse of who He is, of how much He loves us, of just what He did for us. I'd like to encourage you to worship God in at least these three ways. Worship with life. Worship Him with your life. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6 to 8. Your boasting is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough? Clean out the old leaven so that you may be a new lump, just as you are in fact unleavened. For Christ, our Passover, also has been sacrificed. Therefore, let us celebrate the feast not with old leaven, not with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Paul reminds the Messiah followers in Corinth that God has called us to live pure life. Verse 6. Leavens. When you allow just a little piece of leaven, a little sin to remain in your life, after a while it will impact all of your life. This is what leaven does to the dough. Verse 7. Leaven. So what do we need to do? Clean our house, get ready for the celebration. Unleavened. In fact, you are already unleavened without any spot, holy and ready. How did this happen? Verse 7. Christ, our Passover, also has been sacrificed. The Messiah is our Passover lamp. Remember how the lamp was so important, the Passover Seder, that it received the name of the whole feast. It's Jesus. He is our Passover lamb who was sacrificed for us so that God's judgment for our sins struck Him but passed over us. He made a deal with us. We give Him all our sins and He gives us His holiness. Verse 8. Feast. Guess what feast? Passover, of course. Leaven, unleavened bread, it's matzah. So, number one is to worship God with your life. The way you treat others, the way you spend your money, the way you talk, the way you think, the way you work, the way you dress. Worship Him with your life. But secondly, worship God with your testimony. There are lots of people around you, at home, at work, in school, at the store, in the park, possibly even at church, who do not trust in Jesus yet. You have a powerful story of how He has changed your life. You know the Passover story, how God's judgment passed over you because of what Jesus did for you. Please share it with others, especially if you know Jewish people. Most of them do not realize that Jesus is their Messiah, the Savior. Pray for them, love them, and explain it to them. But thirdly, worship God with praise. This is what is done traditionally on Passover. This is what Jesus did with His disciples. In Matthew 26:30, we read that after singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives, from where Jesus is taken to pay the price for you and me. Let us lift our voices and thank and praise Him for who He is and for what He has done for us. At the end, now we have to drink the cup, and at the end we have to sing again together. Next year, we will celebrate Passover in the rebuilt Jerusalem. Leshana Gaba, Bi Yerushalayim, Leshana Gaba, Bi Yerushalayim, Leshana Gaba, Bi Yerushalayim, Leshana Gaba, Bi Yerushalayim, Gabnuya, Leshana Gaba. Bi Yerushalayim Leshana Gaba, Bi Yerushalayim Leshana Gaba, Bi Yerushalayim Leshana Gaba, Bi Yerushalayim Gabnuya Leshana Gaba. You speak now fluently Hebrew. Leshana Gaba, Bi Yerushalayim Leshana Gaba, Bi Yerushalayim Leshana Gaba, Bi Yerushalayim Leshana Gaba, Bi Yerushalayim Gabnuya. Amen. Thank you. This is Passover story, and hopefully you were blessed and understood something maybe better, who Jesus is and what he has done for us. It's most important thing, most important part. And please pray for Jewish people. Please pray for Jewish people in Chicago. Once again, there are 300,000 Russian-speaking Jewish people. I don't say now about American Jews. I speak about Russian Jews who came here maybe 20, 30 years ago. 300,000, and all of them need Jesus. Pray for them, please. And of course, if you want to support my ministry, you can do it. You have all the stuff for it. The brochure, once again, this possibility, the online possibility. Yeah. Chosenpeople.com, pray for Kirills. And S, not because there are many Kirills, it's because my last name is Swiderski. It's S. Yeah, and I started just, again, a few months ago, the radio program, and it costs money. It's a great tool to reach Russian-speaking Jewish people, because especially old people, Russian-speaking old people, hearing this radio wave all the time. And I get many calls. People want to ask about God. It's amazing. So, please pray for them. And my newspaper, it's a great tool too. Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Does anybody have any questions while you have an expert in the house here with the Messianic Jews and the customs and the feasts and the festivals, and particularly the Passover? Does anybody have any questions that you would like to ask?
Where is the prophecy of Elijah to come to announce the Messiah?
Malachi 5:4.
Okay. And just along the lines of that, why is Elijah so held in such esteem amongst the Jewish people?
It's difficult to say.
Okay.
I don't really know. It's maybe there is something in Talmud, in Talmudic literature, but you know, it's more a tradition than a reality.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome.
One of my favorite musicals is Fiddler on the Roof, right? It's all about tradition.
Yeah, yeah. Tradition.
Tradition. any other questions? I'll try to repeat it for those who are online. That one was about Elijah. Any other questions? So the question is, why so many Jewish people have trouble believing in Jesus?
Oh, unfortunately, there is a difficult story of Christian anti-Semitism. At least 1,500 years, Christians persecuted Jews, trying to bring them into the faith, and it's a terrible story. And for many, many Jews, the word Jesus is the same like a word Adolf Hitler. You say Jesus loves you, and Jewish people hear Adolf Hitler loves me. So it's a very terrible story. Yeah, and every Messianic Jew, like me, a Jew who came to faith in Yeshua, has a very interesting story how he came to faith, because it's a miracle.
As C.S. Lewis said, Christians are the best argument for and against Christianity, right?
Yeah. Unfortunately.
Yeah. Any other questions? Well, I would like to thank everyone for coming tonight, and I would like to remind you that we do have the offering baskets up here. We would like to take an offering for his ministry. We're not passing baskets. We're kind of like the same reason we didn't. We were all going to do the meal together until all the COVID stuff, and so we're taking precautions for that. So we'll just invite you to come up and drop off any offerings in the basket. Any checks should be made to Chosen People Ministries. I'm sure if you have any personal questions. Online question. Okay.
Is there foods other than leavened bread that do not eat during Passover or Easter?
Are there foods that they don't eat besides unleavened bread between Passover and leavened bread?
Yeah.
Other than leavened bread that you do not eat. So
if
you don't eat leavened bread,
is there
any other food that you do
not eat? Everything what contains chametz, so I mean vinegars,
right?
Yeah.
Kind of like sugar, it's in a lot of things, though, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
So anything that might have the leaven in it. Yeah. Any other online questions? That was the only one. All right. Like I said, the baskets are here. I'll close this up with a prayer, you're welcome to visit a little bit. For Kirill, you would like to wear a mask if you have any conversation with him, just to be safe and precautious. So let's close up with a prayer. Lord God, we give you thanks and praise for this opportunity that we've had to gather here tonight and to see just how consistent you are and the ways that you work and how you have had planned out for Jesus and for the sacrifice that he would make for us, even clear back before the foundations of the world. And you gave us glimpses of that throughout the Old Testament, and specifically one place is in the Passover meal. We thank you that you have revealed yourself, and we thank you that you have sufficiently offered to us sacrifice to bring us back into relationship with yourself, that we might give you praise. Father, as we come tonight, we do just pray that you would help us to worship you with our life and the way that we just follow you, that it would be a way that brings honor and glory, and that we would forever give you our praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, everyone, for coming.